Blog Talk Radio.
This is Pastor Dean Judkins of Holy Ghost Fire Church. Welcome to Holy Ghost Fire Radio. My partner is not on. He had to work later tonight, so he may join us a little later. But it looks like I'm flying solo today. So we're going to get right into it. Today, we're going to continue on with the heroes of the Bible. And we're in the Old Testament. We're in the book of Judges. We are going to be reading from Judges 13, chapter 13, to Judges chapter 16, and we're going to be talking about Samson, judge, or warrior. But let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just praise you, I thank you, and I just love you. I thank you for this awesome opportunity to share your word. Holy Spirit, we invite you in right now. We just ask that you open the eyes, the ears, and the hearts of everybody listening, and I do this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, so Samson, judge or warrior? So we're going to start right out. Samson's father's name was Manaiah, and he's from the tribe of Dan. So let's start off with reading Judges 13. I'm going to read verses 3 to 5. And it says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and said, 'Even though you have been unable to have children, you will soon become pregnant and give birth to a son. So be careful. You must not drink wine or any other alcoholic drink, nor eat any forbidden food. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and his hair must never be cut. For he will be dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. He will begin to rescue Israel from the Philistines.'" So Manoah's wife is told that she is going to become pregnant. She's not able to have a child, but she's told there's some conditions that must happen in order for this to come into being. Now, we've known from other places in the Bible, Abraham and Sarah not able to have a son. John the Baptist's mom and dad was later on in life. So God has a tendency of making this happen with people whose prayer is to have a child. And a lot of times he turns them into mighty men or women of God. But again, here in Judges 13, 3 and 5, Manoah's wife is told not to drink any wine. She couldn't eat any of the forbidden food, no alcoholic drink, and when her son was born, to never cut his hair. And it says he will begin the rescue. Let's go up to 5. He will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and his hair must never be cut, for he will be dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. A Nazarite was an Israelite consecrated to the service of God under vows to abstain from alcohol, let the hair grow, avoid defilement by contact with dead corpses. So when you became a Nazarite, there was a vow that you took when you became this Nazarite. And we know that before she was even impregnated, Manoah's wife, the angel of the Lord, who will say who that was in just a moment, but the angel of the Lord had given some conditions, and there had to be a setting apart, so to speak, of what was to come. So now let's skip down. We are in Judges 13, And let's skip down and read verses 8 through 12. And it says, "Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, saying, 'Lord, please let the man of God come back to us again and give us more instructions about the son who is to be born.' God answered Manoah's prayer. And the angel of the God appeared once again to his wife, and she was sitting in the field. But her husband Manoah was not with her. So she quickly ran and told her husband, 'The man who appeared to me the other day is here again.' Manoah ran back with his wife and asked, 'Are you the man that spoke to my wife the other day?' 'Yes,' he replied, 'I am.'" Remember those words. So Manoah asked him, "When your words come true, what kind of rules should govern this boy's life work?" So here again, this angel of the Lord, I am, came and talked to Manoah's wife. She runs back, gets her husband. He comes back, speaks to this angel of the Lord, I am, and said, what kind of rules are going to govern this boy's work? He was asking basically, what are we to do when this boy is going to be born? So the angel of the Lord visits again. Now let's read verses 17 through 21. We're skipping because there's three chapters here, so there's a lot of information here, so we have to skip ahead. But let's go down to 17 and read to verse 21, where it says, "Then Manoah asked the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name? For when all of this comes true, we want to honor you.' 'Why do you ask my name?' the angel of the Lord replied. 'It is too wonderful for you to understand.' Then Manoah took a young goat and a grain offering and offered it on a rock as a sacrifice to the Lord. And as Manoah and his wife watched, the Lord did an amazing thing. As the flames from the altar shot up toward the sky, the angel of the Lord ascended. Manoah and his wife saw this. They fell down with their faces to the ground. The angel did not appear again to Manoah and his wife. Manoah finally realized it was the angel of the Lord, and he said to his wife, We will certainly die, for we have seen God.'" Now, many of you will not agree with this, but he gave a hint over back in verse 11 when he said, "Yes, I am." And then he goes up there, and then they knew, Manoah and his wife knew, that they had seen the Lord Jesus Christ or God. So they thought they were going to die, because back then you could not see the face of God. If you did, he was so holy, you would die. So they figured they were going to die. So with that, now let's go over down to verse 24, where it says, 13:24 says, "When her son was born, she named him Samson, and the Lord blessed him as he grew up. And the spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he lived in Mahana Dan, which is located between the towns of Zorah and Eshtaol." And I'm sure I said those wrong. But the spirit of the Lord starts to come down, and Samson is a blessed child and a blessed teenager, and the Lord started to come upon him at a young age. So his Holy Spirit was with Samson while growing up. Now we're going to jump ahead and read Judges chapter 14, 1 and 2. Samson has a riddle here. One day when Samson was in Timnah, one of the Philistine women caught his eye. When he returned home, he told his father and mother, "A young Philistine woman in Timnah caught my eye. I want to marry her. Get her for me." So here Samson wants to marry, and he wants to marry a pagan for his wife, somebody who the Jewish people were not or forbidden to marry. But Samson says, "Hey, mom, hey, dad, I want to marry this girl because she caught his eye." All right, now verses 3 and 4 says, "His father and mother objected. 'Isn't there even one woman in our tribe among all the Israelites you could marry?' they asked. 'Why must you go to the pagan Philistines to find a wife?' But Samson told his father, 'Get her for me. She looks good to me.' His father and mother didn't realize the Lord was at work in this, creating an opportunity to work against the Philistines who ruled over Israel at that time." So even though it went against tradition and they were marrying outside the Jewish tribes or the Jewish heritage, God had set this up because he was going to use this to fuel and judge the Philistines who were now ruling over the Israelites. All right, so let's go on. So God has a plan here. So here he is. He's impregnated. Manoah's wife is impregnated. He has Samson. He grows up a godly man. He's under vows not to drink wine, alcoholic beverage. He's not to cut his hair. The Holy Spirit has descended upon him. He's grown up. He's blessed. Everything he does, he's blessed at. And now he's caught this woman who's not even of the heritage that he's from. But God is going to use this to carry out judgment over the Philistines. All right, so that's where we are to this this time. So now let's read verses 5 and 6. Now, as Samson and his parents were going down the Timnah, a young lion suddenly attacked Samson near the vineyards of Timnah. At that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. He did it as easily as if it were a young goat, but he didn't tell his father and mother about it. So this young lion attacks him. The Holy Spirit comes upon him, endues him with power. He takes the lion and he rips the lion apart from the jaws and then doesn't sit down and tell anybody about it. All right. So now let's go and read. So Samson rips the young lion's jaws apart by the power of the Holy Ghost. We'll skip ahead to verse 12, and I'm going to read 12 through 20. Samson said to them, "Let me tell you a riddle. If you solve my riddle during these 7 days of celebration, I will give you 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing. But if you can't solve it, then you must give me 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing." "All right," they agreed. "Let's hear the riddle." So he said, "Out of the one who eats came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet." 3 days later, they were still trying to figure out. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, "Entice your husband to explain the riddle for us, or we will burn down your father's house with you in it. Did you invite us to this party to make us poor?" So Samson's wife came to him in tears and said, "You don't love me, you hate me. You have given me a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer." "I haven't even given the answer to my father or mother," he replied. "Why should I tell you?" So she cried whenever he was with him and kept it up for the rest of the celebration. At last, on the seventh day, he told her the answer because she was tormenting him with her nagging. Then she explained the riddle to the young men. So before sunset on the seventh day, the men of the town came to Samson with their answer. "What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?" Samson replied, "If you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have solved my riddle." Then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. He went down to the town of Ashkelon, killed 30 men, and took their belongings and gave their clothing to the men who had solved the riddle. But Samson was furious about what had happened, and he went back home to live with his father and mother. So here he gets mad. He goes down. They answer the riddle because his wife tells them about it. He gets mad. He goes down and kills 30 Philistines, takes their clothes, their linens, and then gives it to the 30 that he made. And verse 20 says, "So his wife was given in marriage to the man who had been Samson's best man at the wedding." So Samson goes home, lives with his mother and father after the wedding. And because of that, the father of the bride gives her to the best man. And she now marries him. So now, Judges chapter 15. So now Samson, because we don't have time to read all the scriptures, I'm going to sit down and say this. But Samson in chapter 15, Samson burns down the wheat fields. He destroys vineyards and olive groves. So because of what the man did and gave his wife to the best man, who was a Philistine, by the way, Samson goes on a tirade here. He burns down all the Philistines' wheat fields, and he destroys their vineyards and their olive vines. So he's on a vengeance. He is judging the Philistines, and he is causing havoc to them wherever he goes. With that, let's skip up to verse 6. And it says, "Who is this?" the Philistines demanded. "Samson," was the reply, "because his father-in-law from Timnah gave Samson's wife to be married to his best man." So the Philistines went out and got the woman and her father and burned them to death. So here in verse 6, they kill Samson's wife. They kill the father, and they kill her. They burn her and her father to death. Now Samson vows revenge. He's going to kill as many Philistines. He goes on this killing spree, and they go into hiding because he's killing so many Philistines because they killed his wife and they killed her father. So now he is going, and he's killing all these Philistines. I know people at home are sitting down there thinking, holy smokes, what's going on with God? He's sitting down and he's having Samson judge and kill all these Philistines. How could God do that? Well, you have to remember that the Philistines were causing havoc against Israel's and the Israelites, and they had power over them, and they had them in bondage. They were tormenting them. They were killing them. They were just doing everything. They were worshiping their gods, and there was so much going on, and it happened for years. So God had basically brought Samson in to judge these Philistines and to basically kill off the problem that's happening here. He's judging these people. All right, so now we're going to read Judges chapter 15. I'll read verses 11 and 12. And it says, so 3,000 men of Judah went down to get Samson at the cave in the rock of Etam. They said to Samson, don't you realize the Philistines rule over us? What are you doing to us? But Samson replied, I only did to them what they did to me. But the men of Judah told them, we have come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines. All right, Samson said, but promise that you won't kill me yourselves. So they come, they tie him up. They know that they can't tie up Samson. There's 3,000 men of Judah come to turn Samson over to the Philistines. Now, they know if he puts up a fight, he's going to beat them all because he's tremendously strong. The Holy Ghost comes upon him, and when he does, he can just basically beat anybody. And so he does and goes and does this, but he says, all right, you can take me to them and tie me up, but promise that you won't kill me. So they make a promise that they won't kill him, that they're just going to turn him over to the Philistines. It's just all starting to paint a picture for you. I think Samson had a plan here. All right, now let's read verses 14 through 17. And it says, as Samson arrived at Lehi, the Philistines came shouting in triumph, but the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon Samson, and he snapped the ropes on his arms as if they were burnt strands of flax, and they fell from his wrists. Then he found the jawbone of a recently killed donkey. He picked it up and killed 1,000 Philistines with it. Then Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, I've piled them in heaps. With the jawbone of a donkey, I killed 1,000 men. When he had finished his boasting, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was named Jawbone Hill. Isn't that funny? Ramath Lehi is what they call it. So he goes and he tricks them. He goes there, he takes the jawbone of a donkey that had recently died, and he kills 1,000 Philistines. So he had basically set them up. Let's go up to verse 20. Samson judged Israel for 20 years during the period when the Philistines dominated the land. So for 20 years, Samson was a judge that God used over the Philistines who were in power or control. So even though they controlled Israel, God was judging them for their bad deeds or their sins against God, and he is judging them. He is a judge. So going back to the beginning, was Samson a judge or a warrior? Now, most people will say that he was a warrior, but he wasn't. He was a judge. So God used Samson to judge the Philistines. All right, so let's go on with that. Judges 16:1. One day, Samson went to the Philistine town of Gaza and spent the night with a prostitute. So here you go. You've got a man who has a vow basically to be godly and to, you know, stay away from the strong drink, not eat the forbidden fruits, not to drink alcohol, not to carouse, not to be around dead bodies, not to cut his hair. So he's on a little bit of he's walking away from what he's supposed to be doing, I guess you could say. So Samson spends a night with a prostitute. Let's go down to verse 4. Sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah, who lived in the valley of Sorek. So here he falls in love with Delilah. Now we all know the story of Delilah and what she has done. So she sits down and he falls in love with her. He gets drunk. She tries umpteen times to get him to tell her what his strength is. He fools her every time. She gets mad. She gets pouty. She cries. Tells him that she doesn't love him. He doesn't love her. And he does this 6 or 7 times where the Philistines would come upon him. And when they would, he would just shake them off and he would chase them off. He goes out and takes the gates of the city and he rips them off the wall and carries them up on a hill. I mean, he's just causing chaos in the Philistine camps. And they can't do anything to him because he's so strong and because the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. Finally, she convinces him to tell his secret. Let's go down to verse 17. Finally, Samson shared his secret with her. "My hair has never been cut," he confessed, "for I was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as anyone else." So we know that when he tells her this, he drinks, he goes down. Now, he's not supposed to be drinking, by the way. And so he drinks the strong wine, he falls asleep, and she shaves his head. She calls them in, saying, "Oh, the Philistines are coming, the Philistines are coming." He tries to shake them off like he always has before. His strength left him. He couldn't do it. So they get him. They throw him in prison. They gouge out his eyes, and they make a mockery out of him. Let's read that in verses 20 to 22. And it says, "Then she cried out, 'Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you.' When he woke up, he thought, 'I will do as before and shake myself free.' But he didn't realize the Lord had left him. So the Philistines captured him and gouged out his eyes. They took him to Gaza, where he was bound with bronze chains and forced to grind grain in the prison. But before long, his hair began to grow back." Well, welcome there, Brother Charlie. We are almost done. We've got 8 minutes left. And
The note I got was 9:30, D.
That's all right. That's all right. So that was a mistake there. But we're talking about Samson right now. We've gotten to the point where he's had his eyes gouged out. He has. Where am I now? His hair. He's in prison. They're making a folly of him. I'll just bring you up to date there. He had killed 1,000 with the jawbone. Delilah has fooled him, and now he is in prison grinding grain. But his hair is starting to grow back. And we are in Judges chapter 16. So now we're going to go to Judges 16:26. And we got about 7.5 minutes left here. So do you have it there, Charlie? I'll have you end it with 26 to the end of the chapter.
"And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, 'Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them.' Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, 'O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes.' And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he bowed himself with all of his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah, his father, and he judged Israel 20 years.
Amen. So he judged the Philistines for 20 years. So what we are talking about here, Charlie, I know you know the story of Samson and everything he did. I didn't realize, Charlie, that he had judged for 20 years. I learned that when I got into the study on this, and didn't realize that he was a judge, to be honest with you. I guess that's why he's in the book of Judges, though. So he judged Israel for 20 years. He died, and he made a lot of mistakes, Charlie, from reading the story and stuff there. I was telling him that he was a Nazarite, so he had a vow. He wasn't supposed to cut his hair or drink alcohol or strong drink. Did he do a lot of drinking? According to the scripture, he did a lot of drinking. He caroused. He did a lot of things, that God probably didn't approve of. But did he still use them?
Did he what?
Yes. Did he still use them?
Yes, the Lord still used him up until the very end, because the Lord had anointed him as a judge, and the Lord was determined to have that carried out in his life, and Samson paid for it. But Samson did not fulfill all of his calling. He missed a lot because of his disobedience.
Even Amen. Though That's a good subject him, right there.
Even though the Lord used him, there's more that he, way more that he could have accomplished had he been obedient rather than being so foolish.
Do you think at the end when he asked God to, he had repented and asked God to use him one last time?
Yeah, he probably came to his senses because of he lost everything he had, and he was taken as a slave, and he was grinding the corn. But his hair grew back, and as a result of that, the anointing of the Lord came back upon him, and he said I've messed up so bad, it's time for me to go on. So in his death, he was willing to say that. Yeah, I messed up, and I've repented of it, so but it's time for me to go on. I cannot go back and redo what's already been done.
So what would you say if we were to sit down there and put this into our terms today, and perhaps you have a man or a woman who's, you know, who's been called, who's serving, but, you know, for whatever reason, they backslide, or they get carnal, or they kind of get worn out, or something like that. Is it possible for that person to come back?
It's possible for them to come back. But again, we have the situation of where when somebody takes a tumble like that, the Lord can still use them because the Lord will forgive. But again, there's going to be that mark that's there that's going to follow you for the ever how long it is. And it's going to be hard to bring that back. And it appears like those that have chosen to go that way and disobey God in those areas of their life, that they may come back, but they're not going to have what they had. There's no way, because the Lord's going to still use them, but they have misplaced so much because of the disobedience in their life that the Lord will still use them, but it's not going to be what it could have been.
Amen. I fully agree with you there. For those of you listening right now, there's a little mix-up on times. That's my fault. So forgive me, Charlie. We basically just talked about the story of Sam. I just basically went with the heroes of the Bible that we were doing a couple weeks ago. And that's about it right there. It was a good story. I learned something. I did learn. I didn't know that Samson had been a judge for 20 years. And I didn't realize that God was using him to judge the Philistines. For what they were doing against Israel.
That's exactly right. He was a judge in Israel, no question about it.
Amen. Amen. Well, we got about a minute and a half left. Charlie's going to be doing Bible study tomorrow. Charlie, any ideas what we're going to be listening to tomorrow? At the new time for you listening, the new time is 7:30 on Wednesdays.
I'm still putting my finalizing my notes. I'll let you know tomorrow.
Beautiful. And then on Thursday nights, for those of you listening, we're back to Tuesdays and Thursday nights at 9 o'clock. Brother Charlie will be putting together a topic for us on Thursday night, and I'll post that as soon as he tells me tomorrow on that. So, well, Charlie, it was brief this week or this show. Thank you for coming on. Again, I apologize. Anything else you want to say?
No, we're good. It's just that when I opened up my email this afternoon before I went to work, it said 9:30, and that's why I waited till about 9:15 to log on.
Yeah, that was a typo there. So again, that was my fault. I thought maybe you would just work late or something like that. I should have thrown you a text. I apologize.
Yeah.
But lesson learned, and we learned from our mistakes, and we'll move on from there. But would you like to close us in prayer real quick, Charlie?
Lord, we thank you for this time together. We trust that those who heard the word will heed it and understand it. And Lord, we thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we love you. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again Thursday. And remember, Jesus is Lord. God bless.